Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, it is Tanya Clark Marinelli, and thank you for joining me yet again. Today is the last day in June. Can you believe it? We're already approaching July. I'm kind of mind blown right now. This year has flown by. 2016, guys. I remember the radio show that I did January 1st, 2016, and it was all about 2016 being the year for shift. And I tell you what, so far, 6 months later, it has been my year for shift. And I'm so excited. Like, that radio show that I did January 1st, 2016, go back in the archives and listen to it. I gave you guys details, major details on how to set your goals, set yourself up for success, how exactly to set achievable goals that you will reach. And I did that, and I am reaching my goals. And I think I'm going a little further than I thought I was, that I even planned to go. So I'm totally celebrating that. And I want you guys to all celebrate, you know, take a look back and reflect on where you began at the beginning of the year to where you are now, and take a few moments and celebrate the crap out of that. I think that we get caught up in life and we miss all of those really wonderful celebrations that, or even accomplishments, goals that we've accomplished. And because before, this is the habit people get into, before the goal is even done, we're working on the next goal. And the secret to really manifesting is marinating in it. So definitely step back, take a look at all of your accomplishments so far this year, the last 6 months, and just marinate in all those accomplishments. So I am celebrating, you know, having a week full in the Empowering Kids Alternative Nature Camp. We have 2 weeks in August, August 15th and 22nd. August 22nd is pretty much full. I think we have a spot for one or two kids, and I'm celebrating that. Week one, we have room. So if you guys are on the fence, get in there and enroll your kids, because I know that we get completely bombarded with enrollment close to the camp. So if you want your kids to have this very unique to Winnipeg experience, enroll them today. You know what? Without further ado, we have a really hot topic today. For those of you guys who aren't aware, this show is called Empowering You and Your Children. I'm a single homeschooling, business-owning mom. My son, for the last two, three months, decided to, hey, you know what? I want to try this school full-time. So he went ahead and did that, and I honored that because, you know, I didn't want him to resent me for saying, you know what, it's not a good idea and this and this and this is why. Rather, experiencing it, I think, is so much more effective. So I honored what he wanted to experience. He went ahead and did it and said to me, you know what, Mom, I want to be homeschooled again. So we honored that as well. And thankful for me, I have a very supportive baby daddy who supports my decisions regardless if he understands them or if he doesn't understand them. He knows, you know, we support each other in a lot of decisions, but he really supported me in this one. So thank you out there. And so he's back home, and I'm celebrating him for creating that experience because it removes a lot of the resistance, right? He would have, not resistance, sorry, resentment. I could foresee him having resentment to me for not allowing him to do what he was called to, what he wanted to do. So, but being a homeschooling mom and creating that environment for my kiddies and myself, this screen time thing is really a hot topic. I was saying to Nancy is our guest today, but I was saying to her before the show started, I said to my kids yesterday, I think we're going to wrap up all the screens, put them away for the summer, just get rid of them. And they were quite scared. They were scared. They didn't know what to expect. So without further ado, let me just quickly introduce Miss Nancy, because I want to spend as much time asking her questions as I possibly can today. So Nancy is you know, Nancy's the author of the book Free Your Child from Screen Addiction. And she is an academic coach who's worked with children in many capacities over 35 years. She holds a Master of Arts degree in education from the University of Southern California, a coaching certificate from Coach U University, I've heard of that one, attended countless workshops and read hundreds of books, and she's educated in self-growth, also studied under her mentor, a master Waldorf teacher. Come on, man, we don't have those here for almost 10 years. So without further ado, Nancy, I'm going to allow you just to hop on and really, really explain. I'm going to invite you to share with all of us, you know, your journey and how you came to be the author of Free Your Child from Screen Addiction. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm so happy to participate in this. The reason why I wrote this book, initial inspiration was seeing parents struggle, and then it sort of evolved into me just, you know, writing basically what I really love, and I talked about this last night in a town hall, but as an academic coach, you know, my job is to help kids, you know, improve their grades, their academic skills. But really behind it, what I've always loved is seeing kids, you know, become their best in the whole child sense. And really that's what screen addiction prevents. You know, it's not about necessarily it's not about being against technology at all. I mean, I love technology and what it can do for us. But this whole thing has become beyond just the tool, something that we use for what we need or what we want. You know, and some adults are affected by this too, by the way. But you know, it's become for many kids something that, you know, causes things like sort of ADHD behaviors. You know, it affects their emotional state. I mean, you'll notice kids who are seriously, you know, seriously addicted, you'll notice them being more short with people, kind of grouchy and also, you know, lacking of empathy. I mean, it's sort of, I think it prevents, you know, the full development of empathy that we need to as human beings. I mean, and I've seen it in person in a lot of kids who are really addicted. And it doesn't mean that they're not nice kids, it's just that their behavior is erratic. I've seen kids prefer to, you know, be on the computer than with other kids. You know, or I don't know if you've noticed, but you'll notice some kids, like, they'll get together, but all they do is play video games with each other. You know, instead of the way kids play. You know, and so I know I'm going to sound really like an alarmist, but I really don't know what's going to happen in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now. What's going to happen to our world? I mean, my whole argument is, like, right now, you know, just the way things are in the world, we have already existing a lot of misfiring of communication. You know, a lot of people misunderstand each other, and then conflict arises, and, you know, people are thinking they said what they said, and but, you know, they don't know that they're miscommunicating with each other. Those are, like, at personal level, and then it expands into the communities and then in the world. And if you look at, like, if you really look at all the stuff that's happening, you know, everything from the mass shootings to wars and, you know, terrorism and all this kind of thing. You know, right, in a grand scale, that's cultures and countries not understanding each other. We're just so disconnected already right now. And and we come from, you know, our childhood, and I think you're actually a lot younger than me, but like in our childhood, in my childhood days, we didn't have screens. You know, technology that interrupted level of desire to communicate with each other, or, you know, all that stuff. We didn't have that. And now we are sitting in a place where we still don't communicate with each other in the most healthiest level. And I'm not saying everybody, but it's prevalent. So then you take us now with the screen addiction happening with kids, when they get older, I mean, and then they get older. And, you know, if we don't do anything about this, so, you know, what's going to happen to us as a society? And do you know what I mean? Like, in the way we connect and communicate. And you know, I mean, like, I had one student, I don't know if I told you about this, but it's like, I think this is like such a picture. You know, I had this one student who, he was 10 years old then, now he's 11. But, like, he had this, like, crush on this cute little girl, and he invited her over to his house, and then he sat her down. I was working with his sister at that time, and he sat her down at the table next to him, opened up his laptop, and then started, I thought he was going to show her something. He said a couple of things, and then he just kind of stared at the screen doing whatever he was doing, and then the girl just was kind of sitting there, and then eventually she pulled out her cell phone and started playing, you know, games. And, you know, it was like the, I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's also like, oh, really, you know?
Well, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm really worried. I'm really worried about where we're going. You know, as is, without the screen issue, I mean, like, I would like to introduce, you know, empathy training, kindness training in schools.
And so you're totally speaking my language now. I do a signature talk, and it's all about emotional intelligence mm-hmm. intelligence and implementing it in our camp, right? It's probably that's basically what the Empowering Kids program is, and of course I'm a certified life coach, so I incorporate a lot of that. I modify it for children, right? But
yeah,
I love everything that you're saying. I completely agree. One thing I just want to add is that I find that the more screen time, right, and it's pretty much what you were saying, but their inability to communicate, right? They're just they're not able to really communicate. They zone out. And here's the thing, you know, there's radical unschoolers out there. I follow a lot of radical unschoolers, and they promote, you know, honor your child, allow them to do whatever it is that they want to do, just be there to support them and so on and so forth. So if they want to play video games for 8 hours a day, honor that, allow them to do whatever it is. I mean, it's pretty radical. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Knowing what I know about neuroscience, it's like, okay, the more you do something, the more of an addiction it becomes. Basically, the stronger those neural pathways are, right?
Yes.
And so that plays a huge part in allowing your children or honoring their want to be on the screen, whatever it is, TV, video games, you name it. That's a total addiction. That's a total habit, pattern, right? Mm-hmm. And those are habits and patterns kind of got to break. Does that make sense? Do you agree?
Yeah. Yes. And I would, you know, I would, in the same vein, ask this question, because I've seen some awesome unschooling parents, and I'll actually talk about that because it kind of goes along lines of what I did. I did sort of a semi-on-school homeschool with my child until he went to college. But the let your child do anything they want. So I would ask those parents, if your children wanted to eat hard candy as 100% of their diet, would you do that? Would you let them eat hard candy for breakfast, lunch, snacks, as much as they want? They don't want to eat anything else. They just want to eat hard candy all day long. Would you allow that? I mean, in the same vein, like, would you allow their bodies to intake just sugar? That's it. No protein, no fruit, no vegetables, nothing. That's all they want to eat. This is what they want to do. What if that's the case? Would you go along with that? You know, I mean, to me, it seems like the same concept. I would think that most parents wouldn't want that. The most unschooling parents, I don't know, would not just let their kids eat refined sugar all day long, 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to sleep. Let's say that. They don't want to sleep. They just want to eat sugar. I mean, let's say just the sugar. They just want to eat sugar. So why would you not do that? If you don't want to let them do that with their bodies, I mean, this is their minds, you know, their psyche, everything. So I don't know. It feels like, do you think that's kind of a similar concept? What do you think?
I wouldn't. Basically, right? I would do my best to influence them in other areas, right? And
yeah.
So I sought out a food coach before my kids because I didn't want to tell them no, they couldn't over certain foods, right? But I was worried about their health. So I sought out a food coach and I got a lot from her. And probably the most important thing that I learned from her was that, yeah, sure, allow them to have whatever it is that they want to have in the house, because of course I was honoring the unschooling as well, right? But have certain things in the house. Like, don't have the bag of hard candy. You know, don't have the bag of sugar. Yeah. Have the vegetables. Yeah. Have the healthy snacks. And go to town, guys. Have whatever it is that you want. Mm-hmm. But there are only healthy options. So,
yeah. And there's a lot of delicious, healthy options. Like in life, there's a lot of delicious, fun things to do that's beyond just the screen. And so, I mean, one mom that I thought was just amazing and brilliant, she unschooled, she just completely followed that whole concept of let your child, figure out what they want to do. And she did that with her son. But what she did with her son is this. His name is Thumper, by the way. But he decided he was interested in, he just loved marbles, and all he wanted to do was study marbles for a whole year. So she took that on, and she and he, they investigated. I mean, so there was a lot of active stuff going on with her. She didn't just sit back. She took what he said he was interested in and helped him, just research every single aspect of, how marbles came about, just all of the different angles. And I remember him excitedly telling me about that. So, so then there's a certain amount of, guidance. And I can't help but believe in a certain amount of guidance, some leadership.
Absolutely.
So,
that's the thing. Unschooling and homeschooling, when people find out that we've done it, it's like their first reaction is, how do you do that? I can't believe you can do that. Like, that must be such a hard job. And I'm totally blown away by my 11-year-old because he's so self-directed. Like, he teaches himself. I kind of follow his. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I kind of walk around following his lead. Oh, what do you want to learn about? You know, like, he's telling me what he wants mm-hmm. to learn about. The challenging part comes in with my youngest son. He's so, yeah. like, he's just all about sports. I don't want to read. I don't want to do nothing. So that's more challenging to inspire him. But yeah, I completely agree. It's like, they can learn anything in a textbook hands-on, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Around any subject that they're passionate about. But what happens when all they do is talk about video games and Minecraft and blah, blah, blah? Like, you know what I mean? What happens when that's mm-hmm. all they talk about? How do us as homeschoolers or unschoolers influence learning in that regard?
Would do, by the way, Minecraft is one program that I kind of, I don't know enough about it, what I know about it, hate to say it, there's some aspects of it that I do like when they're creating, you know, and they're
yeah.
designing, because mm-hmm. Some kids do some amazing creative stuff. In fact, I had a student who used to just make beautiful buildings and things inside mm-hmm. and all that. So one of the things that I would do is to shift the focus. So it's just like, you know, it's just like anything, whether it's food or anything, you know, the more you focus on, you know, don't do this, you know, whenever you put a limit on something, you know, just take, you know, take a look at yourself. Like, when you put a limit on yourself, like, you tend to want those things more. So that's
right.
one aspect. But the other thing is, you know, because I'm kind of one for organically making changes, right? So what I find most effective in terms of with the screens is, instead of focusing on not doing the screens, focus then shifting the focus to what we're going to do. And what I suggest is take this opportunity to really focus on helping kids find their love, their passion. And it's not even about finding something to pacify them. Different times, some people do that. They think that, oh yeah, you know, take their attention away, and, you know, find them something else to do. So it's not about that. It's not about just finding them something else to do. What I'm suggesting is find that true thing. Focus on finding their true love, their passion. Why not, right?
Okay.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Doing that.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's something that we focus on in the camp as well. You know, there's a few different aspects that we focus on, and it's finding their passions, getting comfortable
mm-hmm.
enough to vocalize them, because when you vocalize them, it becomes more real and believable.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yeah, and reconnecting and getting bored so they can tap into that creativity. Right?
Okay.
So I absolutely love that. So when you say shift focus, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, find their passions type thing, how would you suggest, say there's, you know, a mom out there and their child is, all they talk about is video games, and what advice would you give to that mom? How do you find, you know, how are they going to find their passion? Do you have any steps that you follow, or?
Well, firstly, here's a mom with a child who all they talk about is video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to me that would be even a more of an urgent sign that, you know, need to do that. So first thing to do is to not in any way make them feel sense of shame or negative about talking about the screens. If they talk about the screens, you know, just, you know, just let it be. And then there's so many different ways that you can explore things with them. So, you know, sometimes you could even start, you know, some of the things, like sometimes what I've done is start with a conversation about screens, you know, and just, you know, talk about the different things, like whether it's Minecraft or whatever it is, and then just listen to what aspect that they love about that, and then take that opportunity, that particular thing that kind of stands out for you, and talk about that, and so I'm trying to figure out an example, but let's say like they're talking about some design of a room or a house that they, you know, made in Minecraft. Then,
okay,
you know, have that conversation, then move that conversation about the design and the house and the whatever it is, architecture, take that conversation and shift it into the real world, you know, about, I mean, do you understand what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So then you could start talking about designs and houses, you know, real things, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, and that, do you know what I mean? So, but that's,
yeah,
that's just
sure.
a conversation. But I think that in terms of finding their passion, you know, I mean, I think there's so many different ways to explore with them. And again, it's an opportunity for you to even, you know, find a way to participate. And I tell parents, I mean, there are parents like I've seen who are just extremely, you know, busy. I mean, you know, two people, I mean, mom and dad both, like, deep, you know, deep in their businesses or careers or whatever, you know. And what I tell them is, like, you know, hire coaches, people like me or you know, others, to carry this out. You know, this is what you want. You want your child to find. So use every opportunity that you can to find this for your child, because it just,
okay,
the consequence of that is so great. And that's, you know, like things like experimenting and taking them to places, reading things with them, and, you know, researching with them, putting them in positions where they will be exposed to, you know, things, whether it's, you know, the arts or, you know, whatever that is. I mean, there's probably so many ways that I can't even think of that you can expose your child to different things, and you'll see. You know, you'll see they'll give you clues, or you can see them get excited. So, what, you know,
mm-hmm.
So when I say help your kids find what they love, what I mean is
mm-hmm.
help them find that thing that will naturally pull all of them into it, their faculties, their creativity, their heart, so that, you know, it's not, you know, you saying, hey, you know, stop playing video game, go do that. If you have to do that, then you know that's not the right thing. You'll
okay.
find that when you find that, your child will say, hey, mom, I'm going to go do this. Your child's going to tell you that when your child
okay.
has that. Do you know what I mean?
So basically, so if I hear you correctly, you know, you allow them to talk about their video games, but in the middle of talking about it, you kind of introduce new ways of looking at what they're interested in that has to do with Minecraft, creating a different conversation with them.
Yeah, I mean, so I would say start with a real conversation. You know, being really interested. And so when you're really interested and you're really listening to them, you'll find
mm-hmm.
some aspect of that that you can let that be a starting point to talk about potentially something that they so let's see. So I had a student who really did a lot of Sims, you know, the Sims game.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and the aspect that she, you know, at first I thought it was all about, you know, these clothing and girl, you know, the girly stuff. And what I,
okay.
what I discovered, I mean, and this really actually helped me a lot, is that I really participate and I, you know, and that's the only way you're going to really find out what it is that they love about whatever it is that they're doing, is to
mm-hmm.
engage and talk. And if that's where they're at, you know, you at least that's what's worked for me, is that I you know, and it's also a good way to connect, because then, you know, you got to, if you genuinely, you know, listen and participate and try to figure out what's going on with them, it's a way to connect also. So, you know,
okay.
you don't want to just appease. You don't want to be fake. You want to actually engage. And you are going to, if you really listen closely, you are going to find something in it that you could talk about that's not the video game. So one of the things
okay.
I found about one of my students is that I realized that she's really interested in architecture, because she spends more time, you know, architecture designer. I don't know what all the different, you know, career terminologies are. But so then I was able to talk to her about, you know, we were able to move beyond the game. I mean, not the game, but the computer software, and talk about, you know, what it is that she's interested in, what aspect of that. Like, she loved, you know, placing things,
mm-hmm.
you know, in so I guess that would actually be interior design, but anyway, so yeah, that would be just one way. But I mean, there's so many different ways. It's not about following like one format. So I guess
so
if you want to,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So something about, you know, something that I did was my son was really into Minecraft, and then they were into coding, you know, they were coding their own little, coding their own video, I don't know how you do it, coding.
Yeah.
Period, okay?
That's, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
So that was cool. But what I did was found some big cardboard boxes, and then
mm-hmm.
encouraged one of my sons to go ahead and make his own Minecraft costume, so his favorite Minecraft character, and he colored it,
yeah.
cut it, and, you know, kept him busy for quite a while. But here's what I want to ask.
Okay.
I just got a message in from a listener, and she's wondering, you know, what if you could talk a little bit about your book.
Okay.
And, yeah, talk a little bit about your book. And what are some signs of screen addiction? You know, how much screen is okay? How much is too much? Yeah.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
signs and how much is too much?
Yeah. So how much,
okay.
you know, how much screen time is okay, and what could a parent look for in you know, determining screen addiction?
I think that there isn't a set researched like time for me to like say this is, you know, the amount of time that's, you know, okay or not. I think that you know, like I know that when my child was little, I had this sort of a rule of like, you know, not any more than an hour, except that, you know, during those days of video games and TV. And he didn't know time spent. So I usually, you know, stopped it before an hour. But But he just thought there was like an hour thing. I think that in terms of how long you do it is maybe based on, you know, how they act. I mean, my gut wants to say that, you know, I think it's best not to go an hour a day, but that's even sort of a time that I'm saying based on what, you know, a lot of people practice. There isn't really a researched information enough to know, like, what is the, you know, the maximum. I would rather suggest that you do the helping them find what they love to do, so that's what they do, and then playing video games, because I don't believe in, like, banning any of these things. You know, if you help your kids find their passion, something that they love to do, that's not video games, then playing video games or doing whatever it is with the screens will come more, it will be more at an organic level, because they will be, you know, they will be obsessed with something constructive. Or, you know, I think that that's the best way to go. And you can see, I think we all know, like, you know, just by looking at the amount of time that they spend on it, if your children look, if you're paying attention, you can see that if they're looking like zombies or if they're actively engaging. I mean, and that's the thing about, you can see.
I think that when my kids play video games or watch TV, they're like zombies every single time.
Yeah.
Right? They're always like zombies.
You know.
Yeah. So what,
Okay, so I actually want to address the whole signs thing, because maybe that could be part of this conversation, is the signs of addiction is that they will be, you know, they are going to be irritable. They, you know, they tend to be short-tempered, and they display things like sort of that looks like ADHD. They're going to be moody. If you ask them to stop and they, you know, they are just more upset than what, like, you know, if it's such a big deal, then you know that there's an addiction. Then there's also extreme cases where they are constantly asking for it rather than, you know, doing actual people stuff, you know, like, that sounds funny, but like interacting with people, if they prefer to do that instead of, you know,
the signs of screen addiction are, you know, they have a short temper, they're moody, they're asking for it all the time, they would prefer to be on screen rather than interact with people. Okay. Yeah.
I think, you know, I think if you really pay attention, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to follow up with, you know, a lot of parents do know, but their challenge comes in when, okay, well, how do I change it? And that just goes back to what we were talking about. It's like, engage in a conversation to begin with, participate, chat with them, and then strategically shift the focus, right? And follow through with that. And tapping into their passions, I think you said as well, right? So that those are all fantastic, amazing tools. So I'm just going to review that one more time, because this is like really key for everybody out there with children or working with children who do experience these signs, is like they have short tempers, they're moody. When you ask them to turn it off or whatever the case is, they get irritable.
asking for it all the time. It's kind of like the only topic of conversation for them, right? And then go ahead and engage, talk, participate, and then strategically shift the focus, right? Tapping into their passions. Let's talk about your book. So Nancy has a book out there for all you guys listening, and it's entitled Free Your Child from Screen Addiction. So Nancy, why don't you tell us, I'm assuming it's from your 35 years of working with children and then your experience with screen time, right? Share with us, you know, why you wrote the book and what the book is about.
So I wrote the book because I saw parents deal with the parents who are concerned deal with it in a way that are not working. Typically, I mean, you know, when parents are trying to take away the dominant, you know, presence of screens from kids' lives, what's the first thing that they do? What do you find? I mean, because you're a parent, what do most people do typically? What do they
criticize the video game? You know, tell them they shouldn't be playing it. They're playing it too much. Mm-hmm. They're mushing their brains.
Yeah.
Did I pass?
No. I was just asking you what, because from my perspective, what I saw were, you know, just the, all the different procedures that they follow. You know, you know, it backfires. It's kind of like, you know, what I was telling you about that book for pay thing. You know, sometimes we do something because we think, oh, yeah, this is like the reward and punishment or whatever it is. But all of these things backfires, and in the end, it doesn't really authentically cure the problem. And I actually hate to use the word cure you know, I wanted to offer up what I thought was the most organic way. And I also thought about, like, you know, one day I thought about my son, and I said, okay, so, you know, he grew up playing, you know, video games. You know, I'm a big movie buff, so, like, we watched movies together and things like that. You know, he was homeschooled, so he had lots of time. And I thought, well, why was he not addicted? Like, you know, he could take or leave it. I mean, he loved playing with them. They're fun. And so, you know, and I thought about, like, what is the difference? You know, was it available to him, but he didn't really care, right? And it's not like he didn't enjoy them. So, you know, it kind of got me thinking about, what was present in his life versus the kids that I saw who were, you know, so addicted. I've had this feeling of, or that I've always believed that whenever there is a problem, there's an opportunity, right?
Right.
Yeah, so, okay, so we have this problem in our society right now, screen addiction, pretty bad, and even in adults in some cases. and I thought, okay, so, you know, focusing back on kids, like, we have an opportunity to do something that we're not doing right now. For whatever reason, most of us are not in this pattern of thought that parents can, you know, help kids, you know, find their way. And, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I have somebody who just kind of posted a question comment, and I'd like to read it, and I'd love your feedback. So she was just saying that her two children are definitely tuned in listening right now, and she wanted to share that their experience is that one obsession and addiction can easily be replaced by the other. Right?
Okay.
Obsession. And okay. So they've progressed through Minecraft, Gary's mod, and into quite advanced coding to the detriment of, like, homework getting completed. So every time that there's a slight lull in the day's activities, it's like the laptop is a magnet. So while she recognizes that her son is passionate about coding and computer programming, in order to be successful in that field, one day he's gonna need to be able to complete school and university first, right? So she wants to honor what he's meant, in quotes, to do, but there does need to be a balance between growing and, you know, growing a knowledge base. So, and using it as a time filler, destroying other forms of creativity. So it's a very, she believes it's a very tricky situation. So what's your feedback for that question? Amazing question, by the way.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand her question. Okay, I think am I understanding her correctly that her kids are passionate about coding?
Yeah.
And
they're
that's
actually very,
in the,
yeah.
Okay, and that's getting in the way of them doing homework?
Yes, because what she's saying is that it's a very tricky situation because the, you know, obsession and addiction is very much can be the same thing. Or can it? I'm not sure.
It's a fine line. And I tend to, you know, and it's, okay, so let me. There's a couple of aspects. Them being able to do schoolwork. So one of the things that happens is struggle between sort of, you know, maybe even a power struggle that happens between parents and children or between anybody. So, you know, my first instinct is to think that if these kids are so advanced in coding that they're pretty bright, I would think that and maybe even strong logic, you know. But anyway, what I would do in that situation is to have a discussion with my kids. And, I mean, have a really deep discussion where there is a understanding, there's a genuine understanding between myself and the child. So, I mean, what the child is going to do, I have absolutely no control over, really. But I would try to understand where they're coming from, what they're gaining, you know, what's happening with them, and then really find out what it is that they want to do. You know, and ask them the questions, you know, what do you want to do? Is this what you want to do with your life? You know, I mean, does it sound great to you, you know, sitting and being able to code for a living? And if they say yes, and just further in that discussion of figuring out what they want to do and then where they want to end up and then go backwards in discussing what they need to do and have your child come up with the answers. What they need to do, you know, if they want to be a computer programmer in some big company, what do you think you need to do? And if they're in advanced coding mode, I would think that they're smart enough to be able to go backwards and figure out their answers. Let them figure out they need to go to college. Let them figure out they need to get good grades in high school. Let them figure all these things out. Let them come up with the answers. And then let them come up with schedules of what they need to do. Do you know what I mean? So you're not telling them, like, you have to study, you have to go to college, you have to do these things. But let them find those answers for themselves. And then they'll be self-motivated. Do you know what I mean? That's the best way.
Yeah.
And I feel like kids are pretty amazing at finding those answers. But when you let them find those answers, then you lose all struggle because they're going to want to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're going to know, oh, yeah, it's just like, I don't know, with anything in life, you know, right? That's what adults do. We know that we do things that we don't really feel like doing because it's going to get us to that thing that we want to do. But if somebody comes and tells you to do that, it's not so impactful. But if you figure it out yourself, you know, then it's better. Then you're doing it because you're self-motivated. So that's the goal. I don't know. Let's see. What did I answer?
I believe so. I'm just going to see if there's a follow-up. But that makes sense for sure. What were we going to talk about before the show? Remember, you asked me to remind you that I didn't write it down.
What was that?
You wrapping up Paytronics for their.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, putting away the games. Yeah.
I
go over this in my book too. In my book, there's like a very simple procedure on like what to do. Those simple advice or steps to take. That's really what my book is about anyway. Just the very practical step by step what to do. And so in terms of that, the taking away the video games thing, right? That's what you were talking about. You were talking with your children about taking away the video games. So, you know, first thing I would do is to not have that be the issue, taking anything away. I always tell people it's just like going on a diet. Like you know what I mean? You don't want to go on a diet. At least like, you know, and I think there's a reason why our brains are made this way. Like every time you put a limit on anything, you want that more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's about not bringing in attention to the negative presence, but putting focus on something else to get excited about, something else.
Okay.
And and again, I want to say that avoid things that are about appeasing or pacifying or time killing. None of that, because you know that's not a good concept. We want the goal is to help our kids find something that's going to help them produce and create and we want our kids to grow up to be people who are full of life and full of passion and full of sense of purpose. You know, we want that for all of our kids. I mean, can you imagine if we do that for every parent? Focus on that in the back of their mind or whatever it is, you know, have that be that thing, the big picture. Then the way our kids are going to be different. And can you imagine what's going to happen 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if we all could do that for our kids? I mean, like, we would have a pretty awesome world, right?
It would be like it used to be.
What's that?
Before screen time. So Christine has a quick follow-up here.
Okay.
She has a quick follow-up here. So in regards to what we were talking about, the coding and the passion and obsession, it being a fine line. So when he's meant, to, you know, when her son is meant to be on, you know, doing homework on the computer, if she doesn't hover over his shoulders, then he's back to coding. So many logical discussions around motivation have been had. However, being passionate about what he wants to do in the future and then having him choose not to place the puzzle pieces in which will lead him to be doing something
as an adult that he loves, right? So she's just mm-hmm. like, oh, the struggle is so real. So
yeah,
I get that, and I completely get that. So we only have a few minutes left, so why okay. don't you tell all of our listeners what it is specifically that you do, what you offer. I know you have this amazing book. You know, can they get your book on Amazon, or where can they find your
book? Yes, they can find the book on Amazon. And just in case they forget the title, they could go to my website, and there's a link. And my website is nancysungyun.com. That's NancySungyun.com.
Okay. And what services do you offer?
So I offer academic coaching, and it's a little bit like children's life coaching. But, you know, parents usually most always come to me, you know, with the study issues. And then, you know, then I, you know, evaluate and follow accordingly to do that. And they always improve their grades. But it's not just about the grades in the long run. I mean, my goal for them is for them to, you know, find who they are. And mm-hmm. like I said, like what has worked really effectively for me is helping them to figure out what they want. And
okay, so you basically, along with academic coaching, you tap into their passions, get them to figure out what they're passionate about, you know? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I always do. That's what works, yeah, for me. I mean, I've had a student who was getting, you know, D's and F's. And now he's at Carnegie Mellon. And, you know, it's like, you know, and the way to shift out of resistance is helping them become inspired, you know, igniting
sure.
the desire in them. You have to take away all the struggle. You can't, you know, make kids or adults mm-hmm. do anything, right? And you don't want mm-hmm. to. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you're a coach, you know, there's a lot of intuitive process that goes on. You can see, you know, what's
yeah.
going to work with each person. And
absolutely.
But, yeah, but human beings naturally want to be inspired. You know, we want to be mm-hmm. inspired. It's fun to be inspired. We don't want anyone mm-hmm. to force us to do anything, you know?
You bet.
So.
I do.
Well, yeah.
So
none of us want to be forced to do anything.
What's that?
None of us wants to be forced to do anything.
Yeah. So we only have about a minute left, so I just want to thank you for coming on today and sharing your new book, Free. Hold on here. I don't want to mess it up. Free Your Child from Screen Addiction. So if anybody out there is having any challenges, you know, if your children are experiencing challenges academically, Nancy is your man. And if, you know, you want to find out more about screen addiction, you think that your child may be experiencing some screen addiction and you're kind of stuck, you don't know what to do, go over to Amazon. You can get her copy of Free Your Child from Screen Addiction, or go to her website, nancysungyun.com, right?
Yes.
NancySungyun.com. Check her out there. Again, thank you so much for joining me today, Nancy. I hope you have an amazing weekend. You're in California. Oh, it's a long weekend for you guys
mm-hmm.
too, right? Yeah, so we're
it's
on
a
Friday.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
enjoy your amazing long weekend.
You too. Thank you so much for having me on. It's fun.
Good. Yes, I completely agree. So we will talk to you soon, Nancy. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye.